Message number 16 on the first epistle of John. Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus. This is your Bible teacher of the air speaking, J.W. Bramhall, giving you a hearty welcome to the continued study of the first epistle of John. Today we enter into the study of chapter 3 in the first epistle of John. And once again, we would remind our listeners of the general outline of this letter. We have divided the whole epistle into two great sections. The first section, being chapters 1 and 2, revealing to us the family of God with their Father, indicating the great responsibility of His children to be always in happy fellowship with Him. We have also stated that chapters 3 through 5 declare what the family should be in their life while in this world. How great is the importance of these truths? First, the necessity of all the children in the family maintaining constant, unbroken fellowship with God their Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Then correspondingly, to please the Father and His Son by a life of obedience while walking in this world, which we know is in the hands of the wicked one. We now begin the study of the second section of the book and commence our reading with the last verse of chapter 2, verse 29, which is properly connected with chapter 3. So let us begin reading from chapter 2, verse 29, down through chapter 3 and verse 3. If ye know that He is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons or the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. The subject of practical righteousness, meaning the practice of right living, is taken up by John in chapter 2 and verse 29, and continues in the chapter following. It is of momentous importance for a born-again Christian to realize this great responsibility and privilege, a great lesson for all of us to learn. If God our Father is righteous, will it not be definitely evident that His children's relationship with Him should also be in living righteously? The righteous life proves that the divine nature of the Father and of His Son exists in the child of God. Please note carefully, that is not a matter of saying what we are, professing righteousness, but of doing it. Just to say so is not enough. We must do righteous deeds and prove our relationship with the Father and His Son. The very next verse in chapter 3, verse 1, reveals that we need the greatest measure of divine grace to do this, and God has given it. Notice how much the Father loves us, what great love He has bestowed upon us, calling us the children of God. It is not the measure of His love that is so wonderful here, but the kind of love. The kind of love that makes us and delights to acknowledge us as His children. Could He not still love us without making us His children? Without taking us into His immediate family? To think that God would even do that is wonderful. But the love of the Father is even more wonderful than that. It is a love that has brought us right into His own family, in eternal relationship. Children with a blessed intimacy beyond expression. This place and nearness of relationship is positively unintelligible to the world. Therefore the world knoweth us not, says John, because it knew him not. If the world is ignorant of Christ, and it is, we all are the children of God. Thank God, we will share with Christ the world's ignorance. To the unregenerate world, Christ is a mere nobody, and such is the way it regards even the faithful Christian. But a great incentive we can find in the words of John to enable us to live righteously in this world, a world that knows not Christ, and what a motive of grace divine is given to us. For the apostle goes on to state, Beloved, now are we the children of God. He does not say tomorrow, or that sometime in the future, but now, right now, and right here in this world, now are we the children of God. Because of what God has made us now, we Christians should live righteously. We have a noble calling. Certainly we should live up to it. Because we have been made the children of God. Children of God, oh glorious calling, surely His grace will keep us from falling, are the words of a blessed old hymn. So let us remember, my fellow believer, we are even now called by the Father, the children of God, and we should live up to this blessed calling. But not only that, not only because of what we are now, but also what we are going to be, should have a practical effect on our daily living. For John goes on to declare, It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a blessed, glorious future and prospect lies before the believer. My fellow Christian, let this fact sink deeply into heart and conscience. Not only what we are now, but what we are going to be when Christ comes again. This is to encourage us to live right. For the moment that we see Christ face to face at his blessed return, we shall be like him forever in blessed perfection. What a glorious and blessed prospect it is. This is the blessed of the happy hope belonging to the children of God. Therefore let us take the words of application that the apostle gives to us in the third verse of chapter 3 of 1 John. And he declares these words, And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. What a purifying effect this blessed hope and the assurance of seeing Christ and being morally like him forever should be upon us today. Let me summarize the two facts that John has declared. And may we ask God to indelibly impress the facts upon our hearts and into our consciences and even into our lives. First of all, John has said by divine inspiration, now, right now, every believer in the Lord Jesus is a child of God. Let us never forget this. Let us remember this every moment of every day. We are the children of God. And then second, soon, very soon perhaps, the Lord is coming again, and he will take his children home to glory and to the Father's house above. But the very moment that we shall see him, we shall be like him. For as John has declared, we shall see him as he is. My beloved fellow Christian, these are two great eternal divine facts of divine grace that should enable us and are given to us to make us live right while we are going through this world of the adversary. What an incentive to live righteously for our God and our Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, while in this world. But may I close with a word of entreaty to the many listeners who may not know the Savior and who are not the children of God. Oh, let me set before you in the closing moments how you can become a child of God. Listen to the words written by John again, but in chapter 1 of his Gospel, and verse 12. But as many as received him, that is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and yours, to as many as received him, to them gave he the power, meaning the authority, the right to be called the sons or the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. My unsaved listening friend, I plead with you to do what God desires you to do today, even this moment. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ, his beloved Son, and say, Jesus, I will trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost, and helpless, thou canst make me whole. The moment you receive him, you will be made a child of God and in the family of the Father. Blessed God and Father, we pray that in the name of the Lord Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, sanctify and bless thy truth to saint and sinner for the glory of our Lord. Amen.